Those small little choices that we make each day that affect our lives in so many other different ways. Some of you know I drive school bus, and I emphasize this with the kids on my bus probably more. They could probably get tired of it, but it's those small choices that they make. I had one kid get on 2 days before school break, and I could tell he was upset in being in school, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he used vocabulary that I don't use and told me how bad the teacher was. And I said, "Oh, well, how did all this start?" Because they kind of leave out certain details sometimes when they tell you things. And he says, "Well, the teacher asked me to go to what, or told me to wait, and I wanted to go wherever they were going. I don't remember what it was. And so she didn't have any right to tell me not to go. And so I went around her." It really wasn't around, it was more like through. Because the accusation that she was making against him that he didn't do was that he hit her. Well, it was, he run her over is what it amounted to, as I hear the rest of the story. But he kind of left that part out of it. But, you know, he went on and he ended up getting suspended for 2 days and so on. And I said, you know, that one little decision to say, "I'm going to go even though they don't want me to go," seems like a small little decision. But look at the results from that one little decision. And who knows where that's going to end up when he comes back tomorrow. So anyway, those little decisions on a negative sense can affect us negatively. But you know, on a spiritual sense, making wise decisions, this little short decisions can have tremendous effects in our lives. And I'm thankful that over the years that I've been around, God has allowed me to make a few wise decisions that have affected my life, and their habits that he's given to me, that I accomplished one just 5 days ago. Again, I read through the Bible in a year. I've been doing that for many years now, and each time I do it, even though it's like you've done it before, but it's just when you finish that and you accomplish it, and you realize all the things that you learned in that year by doing it, it's like, thank you, Lord. You got me through another year. So it's those small decisions. But now the key, and we started last week in talking about fasting, and I don't know, I'd love to ask you, but I'm not going to make you do that. But I'm wondering how many fasted, don't answer, how many of you fasted for the first time this past week? And the challenge was to do at least one meal. Next week, the challenge is two meals, or this week, two meals. And then the third week, we want you to go from, if you're willing to accept this challenge, from sunup to sundown. And then the last week, from sundown to sundown. So that's a 24-hour, the last week. Now, some have mentioned, and I, because I get in a hurry and I don't always get all the information, let me just encourage you, I wouldn't fast from water during those times, you know. To be honest with you, I drink coffee when I fast. I do non-calorie drinks, okay? Don't tell me I'm cheating. You can do it any way you want. Some of you are diabetic. I wouldn't encourage you probably to go without food for that long of a period. But some people do juice fasts or broth fasts where that's all they drink or all they use or whatever. You know yourself, and you know the purpose isn't necessarily what you fast. The purpose is you take that time where you're normally going to be doing whatever it might be, and you spend it seeking God. That's a fast. If you're just doing without the food, we told you all you're doing is dieting. And that may have some big results, small results later on. That's where a big decision makes small results. But anyway, I'm off. I get sidetracked, squirrel. Anyway, sometimes, some of you are saying, okay, I was there, you motivated me, but I've been down this road before, and I've made New Year's resolutions, and they don't seem to last. And I want to just share with you a little statistic that I found actually a couple of weeks ago. But what they did is there was a study done on how habits can be formed that will last. And so what they did is they used exercise as their habit that they were trying to control. I'm trying to think of who did this study. I don't have it written down in my notes, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, what they did is they want, the goal was to get people to spend 20 minutes a day with exercise, but they didn't tell them that was the goal necessarily. So they took three groups. The first group, what they did is they called that the control group. Actually, I didn't want to show you the results yet. Sorry. The first group was the control group. What they told them is just keep track of every time you exercise during this study, however long it was. The second group, what they did is they took them and they had a motivational speech on the benefits of exercise, you know, that it gives you energy, it makes you healthy, you can lose weight, all the benefits of exercise. And they gave them this motivational speech and then they sent them out. The third group, they did the same thing they did with the second group. They gave them the speech, but then they told them, fill in this one sentence. And the sentence is, I will partake in at least 20 minutes of vigorous exercise on, and then name what days or day you're going to do that, the time of day, and the place. So that's all they did. And what they found out is the control group, the one that they just said, just keep track of what you've done, they found out that 38% of them followed through. The ones with the motivational speech, which is really encouraging for pastors whose main job is to give motivational speeches, the percentage went down after they got the motivational speech to 35%. But it wasn't the motivational speech alone. It's just that just having a goal and being motivated isn't enough. You also have to have a system, and that was the last one. They had a plan, they had a system in one sentence. They filled out this one sentence. That was the only difference in the third group from the second group, that they named the day, the place, and the time that they were going to do it, and they had 91% of them do it. So, as we've been talking about plans, you know, last week I had you fill out a question. And some of you may have fasted this last week, and some of you said, you know, I was going to, and I just didn't. And my guess is, if you didn't, it's because you didn't fill out the sentence. You didn't have a plan to do it. I told you last week mine was going to be on Thursday. And I followed through on Thursday. I did that. I will fast this week by, and you can follow the plan that we have. It doesn't have to be that. You can choose your own fast, whatever it is. That might be, but you chose whatever you were going to do on which day, at what time, or for what period of time, if you're extending that, and then the place. I'm going to do this at lunchtime by going out to my car if you're working or whatever. But anyway, you'd come up with a system and a plan. And my guess is if you filled that out last week, probably 9 out of 10 of you did it. If you didn't, I would guess maybe 3%, or excuse me, 30-some percent of you may have followed through. So my goal is to give you a sentence every week, and I want you to, as best as you can, or as God leads in any way, I hope that you'd be willing to fill that out and do it. The point is, without a plan, you're planning on failure. And so you need to have a plan in accomplishing any of these things that we talk about. Today, we talked last week about fasting. Today, I want to talk about the spiritual habit of prayer. And I'm broadening that a little bit because prayer is communicating with God. And if you're communicating, it's a two-way street. So prayer and scripture reading are part of this habit that I would like you to, by the end of our time in this study, have established in your life and continue it on. But we've been taking all of these out of the book of Matthew chapter 6. We've kind of been doing them in reverse order. Verses 16 through 18 were on fasting. Verses 5 through 15 are on prayer. Let me read that to you this morning. And when you pray, again, he didn't say if, he said when. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen. Surely I say it unto you, they have their reward. And he's saying this with all three of these things. When you fast, don't do it to be seen by men. When you pray, don't do it to be seen by men. And again, there's a difference between being seen by men and doing it to be seen by men. In other words, he's not saying that your fast, nobody can know about it, so you got to go up and just kind of, at lunchtime, pretend like you're eating in front of your family, but don't swallow. You know, that you can go ahead and just say, I'm not coming, I'm fasting. That you're not doing it to be seen by them, you're doing it to study the word or whatever it might be. So, verse 6, but when you pray, go to your room. Seems like there's almost like a plan here, doesn't it? Like he's telling them how to go about accomplishing this. He says, go to your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and the Father who is in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Prayer. Just like the other ones, what I would like to do is just kind of ask a few questions on each of these habits that we're wanting to instill in our lives. And the first one has to be, what is prayer? Prayer is that direct line that we get to heaven. I don't know if you realize how amazing this is. It's distinct from the Old Testament. Remember, in the Old Testament, the high priest, once a year, after all the sacrifices were accomplished and the ceremonies were done, once a year he could enter into the very presence of God, to the very throne of God in the tabernacle. We talked in Sunday school this morning about the ark. Only once a year could anyone approach the ark. But we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who has prepared the way once and for all. So that when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, which we're going to celebrate today, we get access to God. The idea of prayer is only possible for us as believers because of the cross. Because Christ, the Lamb of God, has been sacrificed. And when we place our faith and trust in Him, we have a direct line to heaven. It's communicating with God. It's like a person-to-person call. With God the Father. Prayer is a privilege, a blessing that we have that is just simply put, it's talking to God. We're going to define it this way. Too many people seem to complicate it, but it's simply talking to God. That's what prayer is. And remember, when you talk to somebody, it's a two-way conversation. And that's why I'm saying that we're going to talk today about the importance of prayer, but we're going to talk about the importance of letting God talk to us as well, which He does through His Word. Say, well, it's different, Pastor, because, you know, when we talk to someone face-to-face, God isn't right there with us. Well, He's even closer. He indwells you. Okay, I didn't play that for the sake of the commercial. What did they do in that commercial, though? They made you think that person was right there with the other person. Now, that's where our technology has advanced in our world, but do you know that's what prayer is? Yeah, God might not be right there face-to-face, but that doesn't make it any less real than if He was standing right there with us. He indwells as a believer. He indwells our heart. communication isn't, prayer is us speaking to, God speaking to us through his word and us speaking to him through prayer. Jeremiah 29, I think, really defines prayer for us pretty simply. It says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And then we have God's answer to that. I will hear you. That don't skip over that part. That's just amazing. We can talk to God. You don't have that privilege normally with the creator of the universe. That's only possible through Jesus Christ. If you wanted to talk to your congressman, you probably are going to have a hard time getting through. You might talk to their representatives who will send you a letter with his stamp of signature on it. But if you want to talk to them, it's probably not going to happen. But God says that at any time, any place, anywhere, you can call upon him, you can pray to him, and I will hear you. And then he goes further. You can seek him, and if you are seeking, he says, you will find me. He's not hiding from you. He's not a distant God. He's not trying to keep himself away from you. We will find him when we seek him with all our heart. That's what prayer is. That's the privilege. That's the habit. That's the small little decision that you're going to make each day, and maybe several times during the day, I hope, to commune with God and to allow him to fellowship with you. So let me ask you the question, why? Why is this important? Why do I even want to have a conversation with God? And the Bible gives us many reasons. We're going to just look at a few of these. One is to have a relationship with him. God desires, which is, again, amazing, for us to know him, and he will make himself known to us. I would say that his desire is to know us, but he already does. But we don't know him. But he wants to have that relationship, a two-way relationship where we know him and he knows us. A believer by the name of Tim Downs says it this way, it is hard to pray to an unseen, infinite, omniscient being, you bet. And living in a world so bathed in materialism, about the only reason even Christians give for praying is to get answers. You know what he's saying? He's saying the main reason people pray is not this. The main reason people pray is to get something. How many times have you heard, well, I don't pray because when I do, nothing happens? Do you know what they're admitting when they say that? The only reason I pray is to get something, to have something happen. And it doesn't happen, so what's the sense in praying? I called my parents this week. They answered the phone and said, what do you want now? They didn't. But you think if the only time I wanted to talk to my parents was to get something, guess what? That's the response I would get. And when they call me, I don't say, what do you want now? Do you think I had any reason for calling my parents because of wanting something? No, other than this. Just wanted a relationship. I want to talk to my parents. We know that on this level, don't we? Why do we lose it with God? So what? You didn't get what you wanted. I don't get what I wanted. I did. As a child especially, I'd ask my parents over and over again, and I would not get it. And so I just quit talking to them. What's the use, right? Well, if that's the only reason you talk to God, you're right, quit. Because it's a pretty shallow reason to pray. It is a reason. We'll get to that. But it's a shallow one. There's so much more. There's so many more reasons that we should pray. How about overcoming temptation? God has told us that when we fellowship with him, when we seek him, that's where our strength comes. I love what it says in when Jesus was beginning his ministry and he was teaching his disciples and Luke 20, let me see here, Luke 22, verse 39, he kind of sets the scene for his apostles. It's the night of his betrayal. He's taken them to the garden, as was his custom. So he had a habit of going to this place to pray. It's like he had a system, a plan in his life. But he would go there, and it says in Luke, as was his custom, and he takes his disciples and he says to them, I want you to pray lest you enter into temptation. So he's given them the reason to pray is Jesus, because he's God, knows what's about to happen. He knows the temptation they're going to have to flee, the temptation to run, the temptation to deny him, all these things. He knows that. And he's asking them to pray. And then he goes off to pray. And what do? They go to sleep. They don't listen to what he says. But God was saying that one of the reasons, one of the good reasons or important reasons that we pray is to avoid sin, to avoid temptation in our lives. Oh, that's the verse. Pray that you do not enter into temptation. I thought, why is that not going forward for me? Know the will of God. Praying is a means of knowing God's will. Luke 6, 12 through 16, Jesus prays all night before choosing his disciples. Seeking God's will, surrendering his will. You know, that's the beauty of prayer when it comes especially wanting something, is that when we pray, what prayer does is it gets us to a place where we surrender our will. Do you know why we say in Jesus' name at the end? Because we're not asking in our name. We're not asking for what we want. We're asking for his will. That's what it means, in his name. We're representing his cause, his means, what he desires in our lives. We're seeking the will of God. It's a prerequisite to spiritual awakening. Anytime you want to grow spiritually, any awakening that's ever taken place in our world is usually bathed with prayer. People praying before it ever takes place. Second Chronicles is an example of that. It says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, in other words, when there's a spiritual drought that I'm sending your way, Israel, is what he's telling them here, or command the locusts to devour your land or send pestilence among my people. You want to know how to switch that around, how to begin to have a spiritual waking? He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and then you have the promises of God here, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. But notice that it was humbling, which that's what we do when we pray. We're going to a holy Father, humbling ourselves. When we pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked way, God promises this spiritual awakening in our lives. Another reason to pray is that God values prayer. To me, this is probably one of the most compelling reasons. It's amazing to me that God puts so much emphasis on just us talking to him. Jesus spent 3 years in ministry on this earth. And then he left. And you know what his ministry is in heaven? Interceding, which is another word for praying on our behalf. So for almost 2,000 years, you want to know the value that God places on prayer? That's been Christ's ministry, is praying. God puts great value in intercession, in praying. Hebrews says concerning Jesus, he always lives to make intercession for them, meaning us. That's his desire, his goal. S.D. Gordon said that he, referring to this verse, that he always makes intercession, he says this. He says, 30 years of living, 30 years of serving, one tremendous act of dying, and 2,000 years of prayer. What an emphasis on prayer. I think it's a good example of that, of why. When we get a picture of heaven in the future in Revelation chapter 5, this is what it says. It says, now when he, referring to Christ, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the four elders fell down before the Lamb, having a harp of golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You realize that God is storing up, this is the value that he places on our prayers. He is storing up the prayers of the saints, and to him it's like a sweet-smelling incense to his nostrils. That's the value that God puts on prayer, which makes you wonder how important is prayer in our lives as well. So let's ask another question then. We have the why, because of relationship and overcoming sin and knowing the will of God and spiritual awakening and because God values it. But now let's get to the system. Let's get to the plan. And my goal has always been to make this as practical as we can on these habits to get you started, hopefully with these small decisions that lead to big results. But how, when, and where to pray? Jesus prayed in the garden, as was his custom. You remember when you read about the story of Daniel, his enemies, the ones that didn't like the fact that this Jew had come into their country, was taken from his country, brought to their country, and now was excelling, and the king was showing honor on him, and they didn't like that, and so they have to come up with a plan to bring him down. And so they watch him, and they can't find anything he does wrong to take to the king. And then they come up with let's use something that he does right and use that against him. And so they go to the king and said, you know, king, you're such a great king. For 30 days, why don't you make a decree that nobody can pray to anyone else except you for those 30 days? And if they do, lion's den. You know, a lot of times you say, you know, what do you know about Daniel? Well, it's Daniel and the lion's den, but it really should be Daniel and the praying man. Because the only reason he ended up in the lion's den was because he was faithful in his prayers. Three times a day, he would go to his room, he would open up his window towards Jerusalem that he was taken from, and he would pray to his God. The decree was made, and did Daniel keep his system? Yes, he did. He kept that habit, even though it meant he would be thrown into the lion's den. He had a system. Now, I'm gonna share with you here my system, and if you have your notes on the back of the bulletins, all this is written in there, and you can get it from there as well. But I'm going to suggest a system. This may not be a system that works for you. This is a system that works for me, okay? But if this doesn't work for you, pick a different system. If the fast that I suggested isn't working for you, pick a different fast. That's fine. I'm not saying this is the only system. But I'm if you've never had a system, let me just give you one that you can consider. This is what you need to do. You first need to find a spot. I have a spot called the Lazy Boy. But I plop in that spot every morning. And that's my spot. That's where I meet with God. I think that you need to journal your prayer requests. You need to write them down. You need to have a list. You need to have a means of recording that. I'll talk to you a little bit of how I do that in a minute. A set time. I know some of you are busy in the morning and some of you are busy in the evenings, and you can choose different times. And I've just found that if I don't do it in the morning, it's not going to happen because life begins. But for me, it's morning. It's the first thing, which with me has to start real early a lot of times because of that. And then you do it. You spend that time every day in prayer. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you how I do it. Again, this is my system. It doesn't have to be your system. Chris, switch us over here to the iPad, if you will. On here, you have a couple different apps that I want to point out, and they're referred to in your notes. But this is the YouVersion app, and this is the prayer app. And I'm going to start with my Bible reading, which is the Holy Bible one. When you open that up, there's on the bottom here, you've got a home section, read, plans, search, etc. The home is just different things that you can look at. Actually, if you're doing it with others, you can see what they're doing, and I didn't look ahead, so I don't want to show you what everybody's doing. But if you go to the plans down here, These are my plans right now. You can find plans. I'm going to hit that right now. There are literally hundreds of plans. They vary in different times. They usually have a devotional and a reading portion. The one I'm doing this year is the same one I did last year. It's called the Bible Project. It's a read through the Bible in a year. If I'm going to give you an example of day one here. It starts off with a devotion. What I like about this plan is this devotional is a video that gives you an overview of the whole book or the part you're going to be reading before you read it. So he kind of gives you the outline. He does it in a graphic form. And you just get the big picture before you read the chapters. I love this little thing last year that I did, and I'm doing it again this year. But you can if I just hit devotional, you go right to the, in this case, would be the video. But then you go to the scriptures. Here you can choose your version. I choose a different version every year. It just gives me a little bit different perspective each year. This year I'm doing this one. But you can choose different ones. Some of them will actually read it to you, which I like that even sometimes. I get tired of reading, and I just want somebody to read it to me, and I just follow along. And then you mark those off, and eventually, when you're all done, it's going to show that you've read that day with a little check mark up in the corner. That's my Bible reading. What I started this year, which I'm really enjoying, and you're looking at it and say, well, you're not enjoying it well enough to keep up, I couldn't find a psalm that takes one a day for 150 days. And so this one does it in 31 days, but I only wanted one a day. Okay, so if you notice on day one here, which I don't have marked, on day one, today is the fifth day of January, I've read one a day. But let me tell you what I do with these. I'm going to take Psalm 51, or Psalm 5 here, and this morning I did this one. And I don't read it to read it, I read it to pray it back to God. This is part of my prayer time. And so, for instance, give ear to my word, O Lord, consider my groanings, give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. And then I just pause. Lord, thank you for hearing me today. Thank you for making prayer a part of my life. And you can do whatever you want, but I'm praying that verse back to the Lord. He communicated this to me. I'm communicating it back to him. Verse 3. Lord, in the morning, to you, hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you. And watch. Am I perfect at this every morning? No. But you know, when I read that, it's like, Lord, thank you that I got this in today. Sunday's the hardest day for me, to be honest with you. I knew I'd be showing you this, so I kind of squeezed it in anyway. But you understand what I'm saying? But I'm just thanking God that he allowed me this morning to meet with him. Where did I leave off? Verse 4. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. That reminded me of confession. Lord, I know you don't like the evilness in my life. So I had to name the things that I wanted to confess. You want to know what they were? You're not going to hear them. Okay, verse 5 there. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate evildoers. Lord, I can be proud. Is there an area in my life that I'm proud that you want me to confess to you today? I want to stand humbly before you. Verse 6, you can mark these too, by the way, which I wasn't wanting to do. You destroy those who seek lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful men. You know, it made me focus on some of the evil that I heard this week and pray for the victims of those that went through some of the evil things that were going on. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter into your house. Hey, it's Sunday. Lord, I get to enter into your house today. Now, I know our house, the house is, but I got to go to church. And Lord, I'm thankful. I prayed for our church this morning. Lead me, O Lord, in the righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Lord, we live in an evil world. Am I being a good example? Am I leading a straight life before those that are walking crookedly? And Lord, help me to do that this week. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their innermost self is destructive. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. I prayed for our politicians right here. I won't mention why. I'll let you try to figure that out on your own. Okay? Make them bear their guilt, O Lord. Let them fall by their own counsels because of the abundance of their transgressions. Cast them out, for they rebel. In general, Lord, this is an evil world that's going against you, and I know you're going to prosper in the end, and I pray for that victory. But let them who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing for joy and spread their protection over the earth. For those who love your name may be exalt in you. I pray for my family here. Lord, make this true of us, my kids, my family. I want us to take refuge in you. I want you to be the one in our lives. For your blessing and righteousness, O Lord, you cover him with favor as with a shield. Thank you for your protection in my life. Protect my family. I kept praying for my family there too. Do you see what I'm doing here? Mark that off. That's one day, okay? So then when I get through, when I'm looking at this, I'm not looking at the day, which is January 5th. Now I know I've finished that. Must be in the second day that I'm in now, and so then I'll go to the 6th and so on. So what am I doing? I got a system. I got a means. And your system may be totally different than mine, but nonetheless, you need a system. Now I'm going to talk about this one right here, which is a prayer app, and that I think your prayer will be strengthened when you pray more. Now, I'm going to change the direction here because I didn't want you to see all my prayers, and I took all my personal ones out so you wouldn't see them right now. What this app does, you start off here, but you can make lists. And so I have different categories that I pray for. I have a personal list, personal things in my life that I'm praying for. Biblical prayers, I'll show you that one. You know, the Lord's Prayer versus any verse I come across in my reading or in just whatever that strikes me as an important thing to pray to God, I'm going to put that in that section. My walk with God, I know where I'm deficient. And I'm going to pray for those areas in my life. My family, my church, sharing my faith. Do you have people listed that you pray for that need the Lord in your life? Those should be on there. Discipleship group. Actually, that was my old one. Now it's my life group. Okay, so anyway, when you go to your life group, I know you get prayer requests. Put them in there so that you're praying for them throughout the week. Worship. That's where I just put things about God that I want to just remind myself about. Confession. That's one I'm not going to show you. But anything that I'm confessing that I'm wanting God to begin working in my life. Sometimes that one's just plain blank because I don't want to even write it down. But just having the list reminds me better be praying for that area in my life. So again, after I pray through Psalm or in the evening sometimes, if I don't have time to get to this, then I just start going through my lists and pray for each of those. You can set this up differently. You can even have groups. So if you want to share your life group prayer requests, everybody that has that, if everybody in your life group has that app, you can share that and they all have the same thing for your group. So there's ways to do that as well. You can switch us back to the PowerPoint there. Those are just ways that we can have a system. Now, again, there's nothing spiritual about that system, but it is a system. And if that one doesn't fit your lifestyle, that's fine. That's wonderful. But if you're not reading the Bible, you're not praying, come up with one. Figure one out. Again, there's all kinds of helps out there. There's ways that you can do it. I just encourage you to do that. So, what's the challenge today then? Let me give you a little reason why this challenge is coming here. If you look at this chart, if you go from this this side, these are disengaged, meaning that when it comes to Bible reading, they don't do it. They don't plan on doing it. This is your 2018. This is your 2019. I don't like the trend. I do like the trend here. There's less that are disengaged than there were last year. Neutral meaning they really don't read it. They're not against it. It's just there, and maybe once, this is more friendly. This is a once in a while they pick it up, but this one, they're really not against it. They just don't do it. Once in a while, they're friendly toward it. They'll pick it up on holidays and things like that, but they're not all that engaged. These are the people that use it on Sundays mostly, but not a daily thing. The ones that are involved daily is right here. That's not the right trend. Okay, so there was 9%, meaning out of a church of 130 here, 9% would have been like 11 or 12 of you. But now it's 5%, which means now we're down to 7 of you that daily engage in the Word of God according to the statistics. I hope that's not true of our church. But that's the reason for this. We need to make this little decision, which accomplishes huge things in our life, a part of our life. So let me encourage you on this sentence below to fill it in. Again, it's in your bulletins. If you don't have it, you can fill it in later. But I will commune through prayer and reading the Bible with God this week by... And you put your plan in there. Showed you my plan. You come up with your system. If your system that you come up with doesn't work, choose a different system. There's nothing wrong with that. You can change it in the middle. You don't have to continue it for the whole year just because you started it. Make it work. Make it something that you want to do and enjoy doing. Each day, I'm going to do it at this time in this place. And again, you don't have to be perfect. We're not looking for Pharisees that feel guilty when they miss a certain day. But if you should have a backup plan, okay? If I don't do it in the morning, before I go to bed at night, I will do it. That's my backup plan. Before I go to sleep, I want to make sure I have done whatever this thing is. But you need to do it. Now, okay, I missed today. Well, start tomorrow then. Say, well, then I'll be a day behind in my Bible reading. Well, then I usually do too, but don't feel like you have to. At least do it. If some of you start a plan like this, and you want to read through the Bible in a year, and you'll get to February, and you'll be 10 days behind, and you'll say, what's the use? And you'll throw it away. I think with YouVerse, you can say, start again from today. And it just updates you and pushes you ahead. That's fine, whatever. The goal isn't that you reach a check mark that you can check it off every day. It's communing with God every day. That's the goal. I think there's value in seeing the big picture of the Bible, and that's why I do it. But again, that's my system. You use your own system when it comes to that. So here's the challenge. Fill this in. Make it a part of your life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for your word, for your truths. Help it to be a part of our lives. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only here. So, Lord, we know that just wanting to, just being motivated to isn't enough. We need to actually plan on doing it. And Lord, we put that in the hearts of everyone that's here. I just pray that they would follow through. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.